Today's Mother's Day, and I prayed this week about John chapter 6 and where we were headed. And we are going to get back to going verse by verse through John, but in view of thinking about moms today, I had a passage I wanted to take us to that we're going to get to here in just a minute that's in the Gospel of Luke. But I've got a picture here of Chrissy and our kids, Samuel and Sequoia, and it captures the moments I get to see a lot of, you know, Chrissy's reading to them, and they're both engaged and happy. And there's a lot of moments like this where I get to see Chrissy be this spectacular mom to the kids, right? And put her heart into it. And she knows a ton about developing kids that I don't know. So I get to learn a lot by watching Chrissy. But there's other moments that we probably don't even take pictures of. And that we'll stay back on this one. I'll guide you guys as we go. So if we go back to that first picture, it'd be great. So there's other moments where things are a little more high stress, I would say, right? Where it's like we've all got to go somewhere and somebody has to go to the bathroom for the 17th time right before we leave or whatever, you know, and things can get intense, right? And I think we've all known moms, even if you did not have a great dynamic with your own mom, we've all been around moms who just, they love their kids so much, right? I mean, we all know that. We all know how devoted motherly love can be. And something I think we also have all seen is the neediness of kids can, like, gobble up that giant amount of motherly love, right? To where it can become like a high pressure, almost like lose yourself in the midst of so much need, right? And not just talking about Chrissy, but like other moms I've been around, it can be overwhelming, like the amount of needs coming at you. And I think all of us experience that at different times of life, where we feel like, can I really keep up with the different demands on me? Can I really keep up? I feel too busy, or there's too much to do, and I'm spread out too much. And whether you're the mom of 16 kids, or whether you're a single guy sleeping on a bunk bed or whatever, you know, like wherever you're at today, I bet you can think of a moment, and maybe it's even right now, where you're like, I feel spread too thin. I feel like there's too many needs around for me to be able to meet them all. And I even feel like I'm losing myself as I try to meet all the needs around me, right? So if you're there today, we're gonna be looking at Jesus here in a minute. We're going to be looking at the lens kind of motherhood to get there. But I want to tell you two things that aren't the answer on this idea of I feel like I got too much on my plate or there's not enough of me to go around. I think something we like to tell ourselves is if only I had more time, then whatever, fill in the blank, right? If only there were 25 hours in the day or 35 hours in the day or 10 days in the week, I don't know what you're looking for. But I can tell you that that is not true. Every single day, God has shown up and given you 24 hours. And when we think about time, there's not a single human on the planet that made time, right? Every one of us has time given to us from God. And a lot of times we feel in debt, right? We feel like we got so many plans, so many responsibilities, so much whatever debt that our time's already spent before it's even to us, right? We already feel out of time, even though it's maybe first thing in the morning and it's a brand new day. I was praying, feeling all this pressure about too much to do. This was a few months ago, and I don't know if you guys ever have this experience of I like to pace when I think. I like to pace when I talk on the phone. It drives people around me sometimes nuts, but I felt like I was praying. I felt like I was almost walking. And you get one of these numbers where, like, the Holy Spirit kind of just, like, shoves you in the shoulder. Like, what are you? Stop. Did you hear what you just said? And I was talking, rambling about how busy I was and how much I needed God's help to get all these things done today. And I felt like it was like this flash from the Holy Spirit of, Jake, every single day you beg me to help you with all these things you got to get done and that you don't have enough time. And every single day I give you another day and then you act like it's not enough. And kind of this like, look at what you're doing. Like imagine if, like Samuel and Sequoia will come to me a lot with requests. But if they constantly come with like, I don't have enough, like it is kind of grating if you're constantly like giving to them and they're like, oh, it's not enough. Especially if I know it is enough, right? If they're asking for more food, but they haven't even eaten what's on their plate, you know? I felt like God was saying like, realize you're doing that to me every day when you show up and act like you don't have enough time and every day I give you more time. So if you're here today and you think, man, if I just had a little more time, I'd be fine. Like that's not true. Like you have exactly as much time as everybody else that's on the planet today. So whatever problems you have aren't because there's 24 hours in a day. Which that one's hard to sink in, right? But God's giving you time. Like your time is a gift. So it's not that we need more time. It's that something else is messed up in the way we use our time or in who we are and what we do with that gift. Another thing people might think is, if I just had a better strategy, I could get all this stuff done, right? There's books about this. There's tons of podcasts out there. There's life hacks. There's all sorts of stuff about like, oh, you know, if you do all your emails at the same time, or if you get dressed this way, or if you lay out your clothes the night before, or, you know, if you wear the same clothes every day, there's like all sorts of weird things people have come up with to try to like squeeze an extra 30 seconds out of the first 5 minutes that they're awake or whatever, right? It's a trap that we fall into. The lie is if I were a little bit stronger, I could handle everything. If I were a little bit smarter, I could figure everything out. Have you ever bought into that lie? Like I've bought into that lie, right? Think about if you feel super busy, but you're listening to stuff or reading stuff about how to get a little bit more stuff done, you're probably buying into that lie. So like the problem is, I just need to be a little more efficient. But all the like good ideas or strategy or focus, it might make you 5% more efficient or something. But what you'll find is like 5% more efficient is not what was messed up inside of you, right? It doesn't fix the stuff that's broken inside of us. If we're just a little bit smarter or just a little bit stronger, we can't fix ourselves, right? So if you're with me today, if you're like, okay, I believe, Jake, that I'm spread too thin, and it's not that I need more time, and it's not that I just need a better strategy, if you're there with me, I want to invite you to pray with me right now, that Jesus would show us a different way. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Jesus, all over our culture, and myself included, there's this temptation to spread ourselves so thin, to dissipate, to where we can't do things that matter. Jesus, in the face of that temptation to be dissipated, I pray that you would show us the way to live like you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. That temptation to dissipate, that comes from Mark chapter 4. It's got this great parable, the seeds and the sower, if you want to look at it. But we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read you verse 12 through 15. If you don't have a Bible, Mike, we got a couple of folks here that are going to give hand out Bibles to you. So just put your hand up. But Luke chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's how the New Testament starts out. And Luke chapter 5, if you want to turn there. Verse 12, I think we've got a slide that will show that passage. There we go. So Luke 5, verse 12 through 16. As you're flipping there, it's just one little story about Jesus. But as we're starting off reading, I want you to imagine what would it be like to be walking around in Jesus' sandals? Like to have all that power to help people. Like he can heal people that are blind. He knows the right thing to say to people. He knows when people are being fake. You know, like if you had all of that intelligence and miraculous power, One thing you might feel is this pressure to take care of everybody around you, right? And when I think of moms, I do feel like there's this pressure to take care of the people around them, right? And I can't think of anybody that had more pressure to take care of people around him than Jesus. And so we're going to read just a little snapshot of Jesus and some needy people, or a needy person in particular. So verse 12, think about what would it have been like for that neediness. It says in verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. This was this horrible disease in the ancient world, would affect people. Skin would get all weird, but then literally like body parts would start falling off and you would eventually die. It says, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. When I think of moms, I think they actually see this sort of thing a lot. Kid comes to them begging, like, can you fix all my problems, right? Happens a lot. Here, though, Jesus is pressures under this pressure of, like, will you make me clean? Obviously, physically heal him, but also maybe he's asking for more than that. So it says Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus is under all this pressure to help all these needy people. But as we watch what Jesus does here, I think he's going to be this master at showing love to people, right? So most people in Jesus' day would not touch somebody with leprosy. They felt like it was this gross thing, this spiritually unclean thing. They didn't want to be contaminated by it. We've all experienced people not wanting to be around each other because someone coughed or something, like nowadays, right? Like, oh, don't get me sick, you know, right? It was much more intense back then with leprosy, right? It says Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. I am willing, he said, be clean. A lot of times when people talk, they got to use all these words and they don't have very much power. Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. I mean, do you know anybody like that who, like, I'm going to touch you when most people wouldn't touch you? And then, like, yeah, I'm willing to help you and be clean. He's got the authority to get it done, right? Then Jesus ordered him. So Jesus is hanging with that authority. Jesus doesn't just say, like, maybe, you know, you should talk it over with your sponsor, and maybe you should not do this. Or, you know, it says Jesus orders him. Jesus is taking authority, orders him. Now, you got the Bible right in front of you, so you can read ahead. But think about it. Think about somebody who comes and says, like, my life's a wreck. I'm dirty. Nobody wants me. Will you save me, Jesus? And then Jesus is going to tell them one thing to do. Like, what would you tell somebody who's just getting started maybe with God, or just had a giant miracle at least in their life? What would you tell them to do? A lot of us would say, like, don't date anybody for a year, right? Or something like, some sort of like wisdom, right? They're like, I know this has messed other people up, so I'm just going to tell you, like, don't do, you know, right? We have all these like earthly wisdom things we would tell somebody. It's not that they're bad, but it's pretty dramatic what Jesus does with this guy. He says, don't tell anyone about this miracle, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So a lot happens in verse 14. But I want to describe why I think like Jesus is like the master at loving people in a way that we don't normally do. So there's a lot that happens in that sentence or two. Jesus isn't all about like, oh, let's get as much publicity as we can. Let's get as big a crowd as we can. Let's have as big a show as we can. I want to have as many likes as I can or something, right? Because if he wanted that, he would just say, like, go make a big deal out of this thing that I did. Instead, he says, like, please don't make a big deal out of this. Instead, I want you to go to a very specific group of people and do a very specific thing. You might be like, why did Jesus ask for that? One reason, I think, is that literally in the Old Testament, it talks about if God takes care of your leprosy, here's what you should do. You should go do this offering to give honor to God the Father. So one thing Jesus does is when no one else is probably paying attention to what is God's words say, Jesus doesn't forget it, right? He doesn't get caught up in the moment. I would say there's even more, that Jesus is able to accomplish more at once. Whereas most people immediately start telling you, like, please don't mess up what God has already done in your life, which that's not bad advice. But Jesus immediately gives this guy a mission. Go do something for Jesus. If you've ever been around a person that's been kind of like coddled in their faith with Jesus, where they weren't trusted to do anything for Jesus or to even do anything good, they were just told, like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. And they were never said, like, hey, go feed this person or go paint this thing or go help this person. If they weren't given any sort of do with Jesus, a lot of times it can mess people up, right? Like, they don't actually grow in their faith. Like, we need opportunities to do things with Jesus right from the start. As soon as you say, Jesus, save me, Jesus is going to have something good for you to do that day. It might not be preaching a sermon, but he's going to have something for you to do, right? Some sort of act that Jesus wants you to do that glorifies him. Now, one more thing to say about why Jesus is the master. He gives this guy exactly what he needs. Like, he needed a miracle and he needed this mission. Think about who he sends them to, though, the priests and, like, the religious authorities. These are the people that are going to put Jesus on trial and want him crucified and get him crucified because Jesus is so threatening to them. But Jesus, in a fairly preemptive way, before everything's blown apart, he sends this guy almost like an ambassador to these people that are going to hate Jesus. Jesus sends them someone who, if the guy would follow through, we don't know the details, but if he would follow through on that, he would go very humbly, very God-honoringly, very obeying the law in a way that they can understand and in a way that's positive about Jesus. I think we see Jesus loving his enemies even right here. He sends this guy who will do anything he says, he sends him to do something kind of as an ambassador to people that are going to reject him. He sends them to do something kind and to show respect to people that are going to end up hating him. I don't know if you guys can catch all that. It's enough for you to think, like, Jesus is so much better at loving people than I am. Like, when you see that, you're just like, oh, I can't heal people. But also, like, I can't tell people the right thing to do. And I use a lot of words, but there's not any power behind it. And I don't love my enemies in the midst of helping somebody else take their first step. I mean, there's, like, so much goodness there, right? I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were sharing, like, how disheartened they can be hearing Christians talk because they feel like there's all this pressure all the time that you're not good enough. When you look at Jesus, you see pretty quick, like, I'm not good enough, right? We do see that. I think this passage has something for us, though. Whether you're a mom, whether you're a guy, whoever you are, it says in verse 15, yet this news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. So Jesus said, hey, let's keep this miracle on the down low. What immediately happens? Giant, you know, news about him spreads. So I do want to share that other picture of the kids. I want to tell you a story about how bad I am at following instructions. So this was a kindergarten training night that the independent school district put on. So Samuel and Corey were there because they're going to be in kindergarten next year. And this whole thing was about, like, here's stuff, parents, you can work on with your kids to get them ready for kindergarten next year. And the thing, one of the booths was following three-part instructions. So this teacher or volunteer would come and would tell them, like, Samuel and Sequoia, like, do this and this and this. And as soon as they gave the first instruction, Samuel started following the first thing they said. I can't even remember. It's like, put a triangle here or something. But because he's so busy following the first thing they said, he doesn't even hear steps two and step three, right? And the whole point of this thing was, like, realize, like, you got to get better at listening to instructions that have three steps. Apparently for kindergartners, that's what they need, three steps. So Chrissy knows who she's married to. She doesn't always give me, like, three-step things. She gave me a two-step thing the other day, right? Like, a little below the kindergartners, right? And it was, like, I can't remember the first one at this point, but it was, like, feed the cat or something. Or she mentioned, like, hey, could you do this? And then she was going up to take care of the kids. They had really bad colds the other night, were coughing. She was going to get a humidifier ready for them. And she said, will you go to the basement and get the TV tray so we can put it on there? So I feed the cat, and then I start walking upstairs. She's at the top of the stairs laughing at me because she knew, like, I'm terrible at following two things, right? Like, if there's one thing, like, I can do it. But I forget in the midst of doing that one thing about there was a second thing. And as soon as I see her laughing at me, I mean, we didn't need any words. I was like, oh, yeah. And, like, went to the basement and, like, got the thing. That's me, right? Like, worse than a kindergarten. Like, I'm not ready for kindergarten this fall is what that means, right? You know? Chris will be working on me this summer, you know, like, to get me ready. But that's what this story kind of shows us, right? Like, this guy or whoever was around, like, they had a hard time following the instructions that Jesus gave. It wasn't that they were evil or trying to do the wrong thing. It's that they had a hard time doing it, right? If you look at the Sermon on the Mount or any of Jesus' teachings and you start trying to do the things that Jesus said, here's what you're going to run into. You're going to fail at it, right? That's what happens. When we start trying to obey what Jesus said, and that's all we're doing, we're just looking at a list and we're trying to do it, then you come up against the fact that, like, huh, I failed again, right? You start feeling like worse than a kindergartner, maybe in some spot. I want to show you one more thing and then talk to you a little bit about Coach Bob and something he really likes. So last verse for us, verse 16. So verse 15 is talking about how, like, people didn't follow Jesus' instructions. Verse 16 starts with a but. It says, but Jesus, so Jesus is different than everybody else that it was talking about. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So some of us feel like we're so busy, and we got so much going on, and Jesus and our relationship with him is the first thing to get squeezed out. I just heard that from another Maywood person earlier this week doing a Bible study together, and they were talking about, like, when I get busy, the time with Jesus gets squeezed out, right? Jesus is different than all those people that struggle to follow instructions, because it says that Jesus would often, not just like once a month, not just once a year, he would often get off all by himself and spend time with his Heavenly Father. So here's, I want to show you this picture of this book. It's an older book. I originally got this when Coach Bob was cleaning out his office, right? This is one of Bob's books, Bob Spradling. And I want to, so Richard Foster, who's like, yeah, this incredible guy too, says that this book is the book of the decade. I don't know what decade this was written in, probably like 70s or something, honestly. But Dallas Willard, in this book, it's got all these highlights. Those highlights are from Bob, right? So when you get a book from Bob and it's got a bunch of highlights, it's like worth paying attention to, right? So here's the thing that this is going to tell us today that fits that verse 16. Bob has an arrow on this. He says, if we wish to follow Christ and to walk in the easy yoke with Jesus, we will have to accept his overall way of life as our way of life totally. Right before that, it's talking about in that part that's like green and orange in the middle, it's talking about, like, we can't follow the Sermon on the Mount on our own. We can't just try to be good in the moment. We have to act like Jesus acted with his whole life if we want to live like Jesus in those big moments. So he says the secret of the easy yoke, this is also starred by Bob then, is to learn from Christ how to live our total lives, how to invest all our time and our energies of our mind and our body as Jesus did. We must learn how to follow Jesus' preparations, the disciplines for life, and God's rule that enabled him. Listen to this last line. These things enabled Jesus to receive his Father's constant and effective support while doing God's will. Listen to that. If you feel spread too thin, whether you got little kids at home or your kids are grown or whether you don't have any kids, it says, do you feel like I need to receive the Father's constant and effective support while doing God's will? If you've ever tried to do God's will, you realize, like, man, I can't do it very well, right? Like, my stories don't look like this couple paragraphs from Jesus and the guy with leprosy, right? Jesus often spent time alone praying. Do you often spend time alone praying? There's so many places we could go to for copying Jesus, but this is the one I want us to start on. And here's the deal. I'm going to give you four real quick bullets, and we're going to get out of here on ways you could do it, okay? So close your eyes and think, do I want to give a whole 24-hour period to this, maybe in the next month? Or do I want to give an hour to this sometime this week? Or sorry, like 4 hours to this sometime this week? Or do I want to give like 10 minutes a day to this every day this week? Or do I want to give like 10 breaths, you know, like maybe like 30 seconds to this? You get to choose how much time you want to put into this practice. I don't want you to feel guilt. I want you to say, what do I want? If a 24-hour period feels like way too much, that's okay. We're going to talk about 24, 4, 10 minutes, and 1 minute. Here's real quick what you could do. If you're like, man, I really want to get alone with Jesus. I really want Jesus to change me, to fix me. You could take a book like Luke or Matthew or Mark or John and sit down, like go get a hotel or a campsite or something and sit down and read that book and then spend the rest of that 24-hour period trying your best to listen. I'm sure you'll get bored. I'm sure you'll have weird stuff come up from when you were 12 or whatever. I mean, like, but what if you just said, I'm going to spend that whole day, I'm going to try to fill up with Jesus and then listen? Or what if for 4 hours you said, I'm going to go and in my car, I'm going to read the book of Colossians. That'll take you maybe like, it's like 4 pages, 5 pages maybe. It's not very long. I read the book of Colossians, and I'm going to go for like a 3-hour walk on a trail. What would Jesus say to you while you're by yourself? I've talked to some people who have done this. The last guy I know, one of the last guys I know that did this, a buddy of mine, spent about 3 or 4 hours in the woods last week. This one's so good. We're going to go a couple minutes. Sorry. So he said, earlier in my life, I used to always say, why me? Why me? Why me? Like this victim mentality. Why bad things happen to me? He's like, today when I was walking in the woods, I was thinking about how God came after me, how Jesus came after me, how I didn't make any of this work. And he said, and I started to ask, like, God, why do I get to have a relationship with you? Like, why me? Do you think 4 hours of your time would be worth changing your mindset from why me for bad stuff happening to me to why me, I get to have a relationship with Jesus? Like it wasn't any secret sauce from anybody but God in that, and then just spending some time. What if for 10 minutes every day this week, you'd read a psalm right in the middle of the Bible, and then just use that as a launch pad into prayer to say, I'm going to pray whatever this psalm is praying about, and then I'm going to try to listen for 10 minutes. Henry Nouwen says, like, that will change your life. Don't have time for that. Maybe you're a mom with a lot of little kids, or you got super busyness, but you're like, I could do 10 breaths. I'm even just curious, Jake, like, what can I possibly do with 10 breaths that matters? Like 10 times. What could I possibly do in that moment of time that matter? Like, you can sneak away from your toddlers and get to the bathroom and take 10 breaths. You know, like, that could happen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, if you want to write it down. We've got it on the screen, too, if you want to put it up there, I think. No, we have a psalm up. Sorry, we don't have a slide for that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Here's what you do in those 10 breaths. What if you took 3 breaths and you said, God, help me, and fill in the blank. God, help me with these kids to be healthy enough to go to school. Or whatever it is. You know, just whatever is really bothering you. God, help me with it. And you take 3 breaths with that. And then that verse also says, be thankful. So then what if you thanked God for something? Thank you, God, that I got a little bit of sleep last night. Or thank you, God, that I have eyesight. Or whatever. You take 3 breaths. Thank you, God, for that. And then what if for 3 breaths you just tried to listen, 3 or 4? That verse is going to tell you all about it, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. But it's just 10 breaths. Anybody could do that. Help me, God. Thank you, God. And then you try to receive peace from God. Okay? Dallas Willard says we can't follow Jesus if we don't start doing the things that Jesus did. Don't try to go love your enemies or heal broken people if you haven't also been often withdrawing to lonely places to pray. I want to pray a blessing over you guys today. Let's bow heads to close out our service. Jesus, I pray from Psalms 143:10 that you would teach us to do your will, for you are our God. And Jesus, I pray your good spirit would lead us on level ground. It's in your name we pray. Amen.